Amen and amen. We thank God and we are grateful to Him for summoning our hearts always to come together. I always say when we gather like this, it is not because we miss each other so much. We want to hear each other's voice. I mean, that's part of it. But the main reason is because Father has summoned our hearts together. Hallelujah. And He summoned our hearts together at His feet to teach us the truth concerning the faith we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that we may fully experience the blessedness of this fellowship that we have with Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of His Son. Amen. The believer shares in the fellowship of Christ. That is the fellowship of His Son. The fellowship Christ has with the Father, we share in that fellowship. So the same way Father relates to Christ, that's the same way He relates to you. Because like Christ, you have become His Son. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that he who sanctifies and he that is sanctified are all of one in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. We and Christ are of one stock. We are as much sons of God as he is a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We both came through the resurrection. Hallelujah. We both share the same Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. Jesus Christ is our senior brother. Hallelujah. And so, the same way Father responds to him, he responds to us. We are sharing in the authority of our senior brother. We are sharing in the glory of our senior brother. We share in the power of our senior brother. Hallelujah. We share in the wisdom of our senior brother. We share in all things that is our senior brother. So the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Everything that he received, he shares with us who are his body. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you're feeling down about yourself, just look at Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's absolutely nothing that is withheld from the believer. That's why the Bible would say, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, not some things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you see it? So the believer is never at disadvantaged in Christ. The believer is never at loss and is never in lack in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ, all things needed for this new life in him is made available to us. So look at your senior brother. Hallelujah. Your senior brother is Jesus. Amen and amen. And God responds to you just like he responds to Christ. And the reason Christ was able to function in the fullness of who he is as a son is because of his knowledge and understanding. That's why for you as a believer, you would enjoy fully your sonship if you grow in knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And this knowledge is a specific knowledge, knowledge in Christ. Hallelujah. Not just any knowledge, but knowledge in Christ. That's why when we gather, the focus of our teaching, the focus of the things that we study together, we discuss, everything is focused on the truth as revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Which truth we glean from the scriptures. So today we are going to talk about the scriptures. Somebody say the scriptures.
The scriptures.
Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the scriptures. Everything I've said up until now is to lay the foundation. We glean this truth that we learn concerning the new life in Christ from the scriptures. That means that the scriptures form the basis of our knowledge and understanding as believers. And obviously, the first question that should come to your mind is, are the scriptures trustworthy? Can we trust the scriptures to be the revelation of truth, the truth of God in Christ? Can we trust the scriptures? Well, in our generation, there's a lot of attack against the scriptures. Well, it didn't just start in our generation. It's been there for a long time. Last week, I was in discussion with our dear sister Felicia, Lady Phil. She has sent me a video of a lady who was speaking about how that the Bible was written by King James. And we're having a discussion. She sent it to me. I think when she saw it, it shocked her. So she sent it to me. We're discussing it. We're talking about it. And we concluded that it is important that we set certain truths in place so that people's minds are not easily deceived. Hallelujah. It's very important. There's so much attack against the scriptures, against the Bible, that sometimes believers, even though they are in church and all that, some in their hearts and in their minds do not believe in the inerrancy and the trustworthiness of the scriptures. So it's important that every now and then we set in proper light these ancient words that are ever true. That brings change to us. Hallelujah. We set in proper light what they are or what it is. Hallelujah. So that we can fully trust that it contains the revelation of truth in Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 15 to 17. Paul, to young Timothy, said to him, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." You see how Paul refers to it? "Thou hast known" what? "The holy scriptures." Now, at the time Paul was writing this to Timothy, the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are accounts of the life of Christ, and the letters of the epistles of the apostles, they had not been put together yet. Hallelujah. So when Paul said to young Timothy, "How that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures there refer to the Old Testament books, what we call the Old Testament book, that is Genesis to Malachi. This is what they all had at the time as the scriptures. These scriptures contained the revelation God had given to man." Hallelujah. Now listen further, Paul says, he says, "How thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." So the scriptures contained the wisdom of God unto salvation. That means Paul was saying, when you read Genesis to Malachi, what you come out with is wisdom unto salvation, which is faith in Jesus Christ. So for all those who properly read the Old Testament, you come out believing in Jesus. So those who properly read it, as they expected the coming Messiah, they believed in him in a future sense. Hallelujah. The Bible says, even though they had not received it, they greeted it by faith from afar. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Scriptures are for. And it's referred to as holy because it is set apart. It is divine. So Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, he goes on the next, he says, "All scripture," that is Genesis to Malachi, "is given by the inspiration of God." It is God breathed. It is God inspired. The writing of the scriptures were God inspired. Hallelujah. And he says, "It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So herein we see the source of the scriptures and the purpose of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So scripture is God breathed. It is given by the inspiration of God. And most of the text of scripture bears the one who wrote it. Hallelujah. The author is the Holy Spirit, but the writers are men. God will not do anything in vacuum. He will do it through men. So he used men to compile writings that contain the revelation of his truth, that is Jesus Christ. So the scriptures by themselves, per se, as writings, are not necessarily the word of God. When we say the word of God is a person. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. So the word is a person. The word is the revelation of God. Hallelujah. It says the word became flesh. It dwelt among us. You know, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is what, you know, dwelt among, tabernacled among us, which we call Jesus. Amen and amen. That's the word. So the word is a person. The scriptures contain the revelation of that word. Hallelujah. So in that sense, we can call the scriptures the word of God, because it contains the revelation of the word of God, that is Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So the scriptures have been given to us by God to show all humanity God's wisdom unto salvation, that is faith in Jesus Christ. So when you read the Old Testament, it should cause you to put faith in Christ Jesus. Even though the name Jesus Christ is not mentioned in the Old Testament, it would reveal to you Jesus Christ and cause you to put faith in him. If you come out of the Old Testament with any other thing but this wisdom, you've not read the Old Testament, or you've not read it properly. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So we see the all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we see the source of it, and then we see the purpose of it. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that is the one who belongs to God, the one who is of God. The man of God here is not speaking about the pastor or the teacher and the apostle. No, the man of God here, the word man is used here in the generic sense. It refers to everyone who belongs to God, or everyone who is of God. John will say, little children, ye are of God. Hallelujah. Ye are of God, little children. That means that we are born of God. We are sons of God. We are children of God. So that's what he's referring to here. All believers. So you can replace the word man of God here with believer, that the believer may be perfect. Hallelujah. Atios, that is complete. The scriptures contain the revelation for the completeness of the believer. And he says, thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah. The word thoroughly furnished comes from the Greek word exartizo. It means to equip. Hallelujah. When you are going to do anything, you're going to do any work, you need the right equipment. So when all the necessary tools and equipment are provided, we say he is fully equipped to accomplish that task. The word of God furnishes us. It equips us for what? For all good works. Remember, the Bible says we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, recreated in him unto good works. You're born again, you've been born again in Christ unto good works. How are you going to do these good works? The scriptures contain the revelation that equips you for that good works. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. It makes you complete, and it equips you for that good. So when we say the believer lacks nothing, indeed the believer lacks nothing, as it pertains to the will of God for his life and what God will have him do. and his completeness in Christ. The believer lacks nothing. So the study of the scriptures is therefore necessary if I'm going to be fully equipped. Hallelujah. When you see a believer who is not able to do the things the scriptures talk about that believers would do, you can see in the life of that believer that they don't pay attention to the scriptures. They don't study the scriptures, so they don't know. They lack knowledge. They lack understanding. They lack the wisdom of God. There is a lot of lack in their lives because they have not given themselves to the revelation of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So they are not aware of who they are and what they have. Amen. But this is the purpose of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So that's the Old Testament, like we talked about. The scriptures here, he's referring to the Old Testament. When the New Testament was compiled, and how do we know the Old Testament is trustworthy? We've seen it, that it's given by the inspiration of God. Well, somebody will still press the question, but Pastor Sam, how do you know? Because there are other books, like they'll say, there are other books of the Apocrypha, like the book of Jubilees and the book of Enoch. And this, I had a man send me the book of Enoch. He wanted to discuss it with me and all that. The book of Enoch, the book of Sam, there's the book of Adam, blah, 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 and all those things. Why are those things not part of the scriptures? Well, for one, when Jesus Christ came, who was a fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of the prophets, when he came, he lent credence to the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, by quoting from the Old Testament or making reference to them and authenticating the promises and the prophecies and the events that are recorded for us in the scriptures. That is the Old Testament. Jesus did. He quoted from Isaiah. He quoted from the Psalms. Jesus made reference to the Torah. He made reference to the prophets. Jesus made reference to the various events that happened. In our day, you see people mocking even the story of Jonah. But Jesus authenticated the story of Jonah because he made reference to it. That it's not a fictional story. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It was something that actually happened. Jesus said, "No sign shall be given unto you except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights." Jesus authenticated that event recorded for us in the book of Jonah, saying that it was true. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And how do we know that Jesus himself actually was true, came, lived, died, and resurrected? Well, there's an empty grave to prove. And there are many, a plethora of historical evidence that point to Christ actually living. Apart from the synoptic gospels that give us evidence of the life of Christ here on earth, there are other extra writings of the Romans that made reference to a figure that appeared at the same time as the Caesars that lived at that time, Caesar Augustus in them. Hallelujah. Of this figure, a Jewish personality who did, and they made reference to the things that he did, and in their writings, they speak of it as he claimed to be this, claimed to be that, and all that. Amen and amen. So there's evidence that he did, and there's evidence of his resurrection. Hallelujah. This is in the natural. The greater evidence is in the new life which we receive when we put our faith in him. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So Jesus authenticated the scriptures. That is the Old Testament. He did. Hallelujah. When the New Testament, when the apostles wrote, remember Jesus said, "I had many things to share with you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth." Jesus, remember, the scriptures prophesied about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The disciples at the time, they saw the sufferings of Christ. And that is what they gave us as eyewitness accounts in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where we read about the sufferings of Christ. In the Old Testament, we read it in prophecies and promises. Hallelujah. But in the Synoptic Gospel, we read it as eyewitness accounts of actually what happened to him. Amen. But you see, the glories that followed from his sufferings, Jesus couldn't tell them. He says, I have many things to share with you. Those were the glories that will follow from his sufferings. But he says they couldn't bear it at the time. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit yet. When Jesus was even sharing with Nicodemus, one of the glories that will follow his sufferings, which is the born-again experience, Nicodemus was like, am I going to enter into my mother's womb and be born again the second time? Then Jesus said, "And thou, a teacher of the law, you don't understand these things. If I've spoken to you of things of the earth and you don't understand, how shall you understand when I speak to you of things from above?" And several times the disciples, Jesus will say certain things and they'll come back and ask Jesus, and Jesus will ask them, "Are you also yet without understanding?" Even the disciples who walked with Jesus 24/7, some of them still could not understand some things that Jesus was saying and doing. So they couldn't bear it at the time. That is, they couldn't grasp it. They didn't have the spiritual capacity. But he says, when the Spirit of truth is come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into all truth. That is, he will show you. He will take of what is mine. He will take of my glories that will follow from my sufferings and show it to you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. And so you have the apostles giving us an explanation of these glories that have followed the sufferings of Christ. And they explain these glories from them, because these glories are hidden in the prophecies and promises of the prophets in the Old Testament. So the apostles, by the enlightenment of the Spirit, now explained it for us. Now that they could bear, they explained it for us in the epistles that we have. So in the various letters of the New Testament, that is in the book of Romans, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, hallelujah, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and then the books of Peter, the books of John, the book of Revelation, the book of Jude, Hebrews, they explain the glories that have followed. That's why we read in there and we see who we are. We see what we have in Christ. We see the new life we have in him. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So when those letters were circulated at the time, they treated it as scripture. And in the history of the church, there came a time where people were writing other letters, circulating it around, and they were sort of competing in authority with the scriptures of the apostles. So a council of the church had to be convened in order to, you know, put together what we call the canon. Canon simply means measuring rod. Which of these texts are we going to accept as divinely inspired and a measuring rod for the truth of God that is revealed in Christ? Hallelujah. So that people are not deceived and led astray by other writings that don't have divine inspiration and that do not contain the revelation of truth. So they sat down and looked at the books of the Old Testament. They looked at the writings that were being in circulation and they put together the canon. And the criteria by which they did this was, one, divine authorship. Can we see divine authorship in there? And by divine authorship there, we see that is authentication by Christ himself when he was here on the earth of these scriptures. So most of the books of the Old Testament, as we mentioned, were authenticated by Christ. He made reference to them. So those were put in there. And then also the consistency of the truth. Hallelujah. And by the consistency of the truth, we mean the theme of God's redemption consistently played throughout those texts. And that's why the epistles, these particular epistles were agreed upon by the church because they contain the consistent truth of the theme of God's redemption through it all. There are other writings, but they don't contain the consistency of truth. For example, what the Catholic Church calls the Apocrypha. Other books, some people complain that why is it that our Bible only has 66 books? There are these other books here. Why can't we include them? It is because the Apocrypha and these other books do not contain the consistent theme of God's redemption throughout. Rather, they teach, for example, faith plus works, which is contrary to the theme of redemption by grace through faith alone, found in the rest of the scriptures. That's why we say the scriptures are holistic. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus said. He said to them in John chapter number 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but these testify of me. So you see, that's the criteria. The scriptures or the writings must testify of Jesus and testify of redemption by grace through faith in him. Hallelujah. And that is what sets these 66 books apart. The other books may contain certain historical events which actually did happen, but consistently throughout them, they don't contain the revelation of truth, that is redemption by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Hallelujah. So you may even see in the Bible references made to some other text. Hallelujah. But those texts are not necessarily part of the canon. Why? Because they don't contain that consistency of truth. Amen. So what have we studied so far? We've seen that the Word of God, firstly, the Word of God is a person. His name is Jesus. So the Word being in you is Christ being in you. The scriptures contain the revelation of this Word. And that is why if you want to grow in the Word, that is grow in Christ, you need this revelation. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And we also established the criteria by which these were put together. That is the divine authorship and the consistency of truth, the truth being God's redemption by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Amen and amen. So then the totality of the scriptures for us as believers become the standard by which we judge truth. Hallelujah. Remember, your walk of faith is based on the revelation of knowledge that we have in the scriptures. The scriptures are the standard for deciding and determining what is true and what is not. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You see, so when there are certain Christian groups that think that the scriptures and we have the Holy Ghost, so, you know, the Holy Spirit is our source of truth. Well, how will I know what you are saying, claiming to be the Spirit, is truly of the Spirit? The scriptures carry the final authority. Hallelujah. They carry the final because they contain the revelation of the Word, who is the final authority in deciding truth. He is truth himself. Hallelujah. So he says, believe not every spirit. So if the Holy Spirit being given to us is enough and we did not need the scriptures, like everybody will go around saying, the Spirit said to me, 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 the Spirit said to me. No, that's not how we decide truth, what is true or not. If you come with the Spirit said to me, we will subject it to the scrutiny of the scriptures to see whether it holds water and we should take it as truth or not. That's why we can bring correction to you, even when you claim something is of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. So as a believer, the Word of God must have, you know, the highest place in your life. Amen. Because it carries the authority by which we decide what is true and what is not. Second, First Thessalonians 5:12, the Bible says, prove all things, that is, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. How are you going to test? By what standard are you going to test? The scriptures. Amen and amen. That's why when we gather, I don't teach from any other source but the Word of God. And because the Word of God is given to us in writing, it obeys the rules of literature. Hallelujah. What do I mean by that? The communication of God to man recorded for us in the scriptures obeys the rules of literature. When God is communicating to you using language, it obeys the rules that govern that language. So when he's using figurative speeches, it obeys the rules of that language. When he's using various device, literally devices like similes and all those things, it obeys those rules. So then we approach our study, not just thinking, oh, the Spirit is showing me this, the Spirit is showing me that. No. That in conjunction with being diligent students in comparing scripture with scripture, so that we do not interpret things that are literal for things that are figurative and things that are symbolic for things that are literal. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You see, you'll be a good student of the Word of God if you do that. Hallelujah. And you'll not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Amen and amen. So there are some who don't believe or who fight against the Bible, and in different ways. And this is like I said to you, myself and Lady Phil were having this discussion. And the thing that the woman was talking about was that the Bible was written by King James. And King James was this person, whatever flaws he had in his life and whatever atrocious things he did in his life. So the Bible is a tool the oppressor uses to oppress people. You've heard that before, especially for us who come from Africa, because of this whole the elephant in the room, which is colonialism. One of the strong attacks against the African church, let me not say African church because there's nothing like African church. One of the strong attacks against the church in Africa is that the white man has written his Bible and he's using the Bible to oppress us. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something. The writers of the Bible were not European. Hallelujah. They were not European. They were all Jews. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were Jews. They were from Palestine, current day Palestine, where people are fighting left and right. They were Jews. Moses, Elijah, these people were Jews. They were the writers of the Bible. They wrote it in their original language, Hebrew, Greek. Hallelujah. Over the centuries, it's been translated. Translation is not authorship. You are simply or putting it in a language that others can understand. Those who don't speak the original language of the Bible can understand. And they try as much as they can in their best effort to convey from the original text to this new language the message. And there are different modes of translation. I think I've spoken to you before. Those who do literal translation, they do word for word translation. There are those who do meaning for meaning translation and those who fall in between. So when you pick your English Bibles, as you have it, Contemporary English Version, King James Version, Amplified Version, you pick different NIV and RSV and all those things. All those different translations. Those translations are seeking to convey the scriptures from their original language into English, which is a common language we speak now. And that's where the hard work is. And some may be, and since it's being done by man, you are sure that there may be certain biases in terms of the way they translate, the mode in which they use, whether they go literal translation or they do meaning by meaning translation and all that. So for us, well, that's why we that are recipients of the scriptures now, right? We have a greater responsibility and a greater work to do in our interpretation of the text. Because we want to get as close as possible to the original. That's why now, thankfully, we have Greek lexicon and we have Hebrew lexicon and all that by which we can go back to the original and try to understand. It becomes even better if you learn Hebrew and Greek so that you understand the language properly. But that notwithstanding, right? That is half of it. That notwithstanding, as long as we have the Spirit of God, we are able to understand what was being conveyed originally by the Spirit of God. Amen and amen. So interpretation is very important. So one, as I was saying, King James didn't write the Bible. He is not the author of the Bible. Hallelujah. He commissioned men to translate. That's different from authorship. Amen. And listen, still on this issue about, Africans and all that. When some of the missionaries came to Africa to preach the gospel, the countries that they were from, some sent also chaplains into Africa for the purpose of converting not only Africa, but to all parts of the world. Hallelujah. For the purpose of converting their colony to believe the things that they believe, that is, believe in the in God and in the Bible and and all that. Now, the true missionaries who came did not come with ulterior motives. They went to places and preached the gospel. Hallelujah. Others too used the Bible for their own gain. You see, that's why I keep telling you all the time, religion is a powerful thing. And people can co-opt the influence of religion to control others. Have people misused the Bible, the scriptures, to commit atrocious acts and heinous acts and perpetrate barbaric acts against other human beings? Yes. Have they even in the name of God and in the name of Christ done those things? Yes, they have. But are those things they did representative of Christ and a reflection of who God is and a reflection of what the scriptures represent? A big no. That a man says he's doing something in the name of this person doesn't mean he represents the person. You would have to see what the person has revealed of himself. What do we see Christ has revealed of himself in the scriptures? So if somebody is behaving a certain way, we ask ourselves, is that thing representative of Christ? If it is not, that person is not a representative. It doesn't matter whether he carries the biggest Bible and he has a megaphone and doing whatever. If what they are saying and what they are doing is not representative of the character of God revealed in Christ, that person is not representing God in any way. So yes, men have co-opted the influence of religion and the influence of the scriptures to oppress others. But it doesn't mean that that was God doing that or that was God sanctioning that. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The truth remains. That's why I say to you all the time, faith generation, and I'm going to repeat this again, religion is a Powerful thing. And the reason is innate to man is that desire to believe. That desire for the supernatural, because we are of the supernatural. Even the world now, like sometimes I watch movies and you see a lot of the display of these supernatural activities in it. When I see those things, you see people with superpowers and all those kind. What is this? They are dabbling in supernatural things. Hallelujah. So for you as a believer, for you not to be hoodwinked, deceived, led astray, carried away by the errors of men and enslaved by the erroneous ways of men, you need to know the truth in Christ for yourself so that you can call their bullshit. Excuse my language. I'm putting that in quotes. Hallelujah. And so say, hey, Pastor Sam, did you say BS? Of course I said BS because it is BS. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So that you can call them on their BS. Hallelujah. When you hear them say certain things, do certain things, you can say, this is not of God. Hallelujah. You see, it is fallen man always wants to exert control over the lives of others. And if you're not careful, people will control your life. And sometimes it's easy for men to yield control to others because we love that. We love hero worship. We love that. You see, the children, even the children of Israel, right? They did not have a king. The children of Israel did not have a king. God was their king. Do you know what they said to? They said to Samuel, please tell God that he should give us a king like the other heathens have. God says, no, it's not because that's not the intention of God for us. You don't need it. Your king is Christ. You don't need a human. No. He told them, this is what the king is going to do to you. He's going to oppress you. He's going to do this to you, do this. He said, no, you still give us a king. That's human beings for you. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful. People can use the Bible to oppress you. Not when you know the truth, though. Hallelujah. When you know the truth, they can do that to you. Amen and amen. So, like we said, have there been atrocities that have been committed in the name of Christ? Yes, people have done that, but it wasn't in the name of Christ. Like I said to you the last, the fact that somebody prays and said in the name of Jesus doesn't mean he's praying in the name of Jesus. The fact that somebody may claim to be a Christian and does certain things doesn't mean their actions are in the name of Christ, truly. Do those actions reflect Jesus, the revelation of God in him? If they don't, it is not of him. How would you know that? That's why the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. So the scriptures are trustworthy. Can we trust the scriptures? Yes. Can we trust the Bible? Yes. The Bible contains the scriptures. Can we trust it? Yes. As you go on in your everyday, you would meet people who attack the Bible left and right. And I get it. Sometimes you may even watch certain debates, and people are trying to debate other Christians, and they may bring up certain convincing argument, and the Christian may not necessarily be able to defend himself or defend the word of God. It doesn't mean that the fact that he couldn't defend, it means the Bible is wrong. No, it's just because maybe that Christian has not been trained or is not properly taught in that area. No. Hallelujah. That's okay. They just need to learn and come to the knowledge of it. Amen and amen. So in your day-to-day, and I'm sure some of you have encountered people like that. Some are your friends, your colleagues, your friends at work, and all those things, people you've tried to preach the gospel to. Even some other Christians have had these discussions with you and all that, and you read somewhere in the Bible. I heard a supposed man of God is from Ghana. He said, if he pulls himself away from Christianity today, he can collapse Christianity in 15 minutes because he is privy to certain information. Adamarian. The man of God said he is privy to certain information that when he drops it, it will collapse Christianity. So I asked myself, okay, so if you think you have that information, why are you preaching then? So what is your motive for preaching? What is your motive for having church and telling people about Jesus? That means that you carry ulterior and selfish motives. Such people, they are wolves in sheep clothing. And it's interesting when I hear people say they will collapse Christianity or they can destroy Christianity. Listen, my Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, Brother Hosea said, BS. Hallelujah. Listen, if my kingdom is of this, if he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Listen, the faith we have. The kingdom we belong to is a spiritual kingdom. No man born of woman can collapse Christianity. If you can collapse Christianity, then you should have prevented Jesus from rising from the grave. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, he was speaking about a resurrection. His church is his body. When he was raised from the grave, he rose with his church, triumphant over the gates of hell. So we have prevailed over the gates of hell. So the gates of hell cannot prevail over us anymore. And the church will continue to grow and grow, no matter the kind of persecution and whatever may come our way, the dissensions and all that, internal rank. No matter what happens, the church marches on. Hallelujah. I said the church marches on. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So the scriptures are trustworthy. Amen and amen. The scriptures are trustworthy. Hallelujah. And they form the basis of the knowledge of our faith. Hallelujah. There we glean the truth of God as revealed in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Yeah, so don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody, especially for us, you may encounter certain Hebrew Israelites. I know some of you probably might have encountered them. In New York, you find them on the street sides also doing evangelism. And they claim that black people in the diaspora are the original Israelites. So they claim black Americans are what tribe? I've forgotten what they even say. They say Haitians are this tribe, Dominican Republicans are this tribe, Jamaicans are that tribe, whatever it is. You see, that's that human oppression can bring about a lot of wrong doctrines because we are trying so much to right a wrong or find reasons why somebody would do what they did. Well, it's because of the sin problem. That's why they did what they did, even carrying the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Sometimes I ask myself, where was the church during those times where they were lynching men in this country and committing all manner of barbaric acts against one racial group? They'll be in church on Sunday morning, and in the afternoon, they are lynching a black man or lynching somebody who doesn't look like them. Where was the church? And these were people in the church. So you see, it's people who were confused and they didn't know the truth. Hallelujah, who are committing these barbaric acts, but it is not representative of Christ. Remember, Christianity is not an an European concept. Neither is it an American concept. Christianity didn't start here in America. Remember, it is of a Jewish root, began in Palestine. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And being of Jewish root doesn't mean that it belongs to the Jews only. God doesn't belong to the Jews. He belongs to the whole world. He made the whole world. He made us all. He chose the Jews to prefigure what he was about to do. That was all. But they missed out on what God was actually trying to do. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. That's why we have to preach the gospel and explain this truth to all men. If it is not representative of the character of God in Christ, it is not of God. The scriptures are trustworthy. That's why we sang this song, ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. Hallelujah. You know, some point to contradictions in the Bible and all those things. The time will fail me to address some of these things that objections men bring up. But if you ever have people bring up certain objections to you and all that, it's okay. You can, bring it up. Let's discuss, bring it up. We'll talk about it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The scriptures are trustworthy. The scriptures are what? Trustworthy. Hallelujah. And we labor to get as close as we can to the original intent of the author himself, that is the Holy Ghost, in communicating the truth he did through the prophets and through the writers of the scriptures. Hallelujah. And that's what interpretation is. Amen and amen. We give God praise. We give God glory. We thank the Lord for tonight. God bless you all.